This is Andrea Chase, and I'm talking with Azazel Jacobs and Creed Bratton about Terry, a small-town tale of high school outcasts, good hearts, bad hearts, and the subtle shift in mentoring that takes place between the lonely, ridiculed, but oddly self-sufficient pajama-wearing title character, played by Jason Waisaki, and the school principal, Mr. Fitzgerald, played by John C. Reilly. The film co-stars Bratton as Terry's only occasionally lucid Uncle James, Olivia...
Crocicchia.
What?
Crocicchia.
Crocicchia as Heather, the golden girl who falls from grace, and Bridger Zadina as... Zadina? Bridger Zadina as Chad, the kid with issues external and internal that prompts a momentous evening's revelations. Jacobs directed from a script by Patrick DeWitt, on which he collaborated. His previous work includes the not autobiographical Mama's Man, in which his real-life parents played his screen parents, and The Good Times Kid, A Consideration of Theft and of Identity. Bratton, of course, is known as Creed on The Office, an iconic role, a man with a mysterious past. And I know you also started out as a musician.
Right, with the Grassroots.
And in this film, we actually see you playing...
Piano.
A piano, yes. Did you get to pick the piece?
That was called Akiko's Canvas, and I gave the title for Akiko, who did my makeup and made me all blotchy and aged. I was playing the out-of-tune piano, and we did a mandolin, right?
Yeah.
Played a mandolin. I was going to do a guitar. He said, no, guitar's not too on the nose for that. I had started this piece years ago, it was like a pop song, and I was in character playing the piano, and I realized in my dementia that I'm drifting away. So when I'm on that recording, I'm going, where the hell am I? I am literally shifting and not knowing and going, finally I just looked up and said, okay, we'll just let this thing. So it's a total improv. And it's out of tune, improv, but it works.
It's even more perfect that it's out of tune.
The piano came with a place, and I felt like if this is how that sounds, then that's how it should sound.
I love the way you play this character. It's very subtle, but the moment when Terry walks in and Uncle James is actually lucid for a moment, it's really obvious just from the way you're sitting there.
It was odd because I would come in and I would say, where am I? Am I out or I'm in? He said, "Well, you're about here. You're about three quarters in, and you're about." He would just say percentage wise of where how far I was in out of lucidity, and then I would just do the lines. It was that simple. But I never knew where I was, and he always knew.
Well, he's the director.
He was the director. That's his job.
And group psychologist, perhaps. What I liked about this film is that it takes the audience out of its comfort zone. Talk a little about taking the audience out of its comfort zone and taking yourself and your actors out of their comfort zones, maybe.
Well, I'm glad that you see it that way. That's definitely my interest. I want to, you know, the movie moves in what I would consider real time, like in real life. It feels like real life to me. I want a film that feels recognizable and familiar, and at the same time is taking you places that you're not expecting to go. Even if you've been to them and they look like something that makes you hark back to your own life, that's my interest. It's my interest is to see things that feel grounded.
I also love the way both Terry and Fitzgerald in this film, they're both really nice guys. So is Uncle James. He's a really nice guy. He's got a little problem being present. But being nice on film is not necessarily the most interesting thing. But these guys really are interesting. Talk about the pleasures and perils of being nice.
I like the words that Patrick DeWitt wrote. People say in this movie a lot of times, one way or another, what they mean in the oddest ways. You know, they're extremely direct or they're so transparent or they lead to the truth. That's something that just grabbed me from the beginning, that I felt like, well, people are communicating. And I want this movie to communicate that the way that I like to be treated and talked to.
Terry, of course, wears pajamas through most of the film. Did other actors sort of resent the fact that Jason got to be so comfortable at all times?
I came to the set in pajamas many times and said, I'm going to work this way. And Oz said, no, it's just...
No, yeah. I gave you a robe. Like the.
Give me a robe. That was the compromise, the robe.
You know, Jacob lived in those pajamas, you know, and... It informed him, and he became more and more comfortable being in them and being around in them. And just, I saw it affecting how he was playing Terry in a good way.
Choosing the right pajamas, this is important, I would imagine.
Well, you know, my wife Diaz did all the costumes and spent a lot of time talking about which ones were right. You know, I'm somebody that's trying to shy away from something that's quirky. And I think that having a character that wears pajamas could really easily, if you just say that, oh, a kid wears pajamas to school every day, it sounds like another, like, it sounds like some kind of hook line or something. But, you know, I wanted to shy away from that. And I really wanted this to be about a kid that just decided, like, who's resigned, who's like, okay, life is going to be lonely and I'm going to be feeling marooned for the rest of my life, but I might as well just be comfortable with it.
I couldn't help thinking that the only other person who spends most of his outside life in pajamas is Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, there was a line that Patrick wrote in the original manuscript that said something about Terry shuffles around the house like a leisurely prince in his pajamas or something. I really liked that image, and I wanted Jacob to have that.
I also really like the locations you chose. The odds of finding a house with an out-of-tune piano that's so perfect. Talk about finding them and finding a high school that's typical but not too dilapidated and not too rosy.
You know, with movies, and especially the fact that I wasn't going to be going so much into Uncle James' history, it was really important that the home was an extension of his character and that you got a sense of who Uncle James was before his illness. We went scouting. This is the first home we knocked on, and we walked into people. And this is not, you know, the house is packed of stuff. You know, they have this piano, they have this accordion, they have all these things around. But these aren't hoarders. These are people that are living and using this stuff. And very much like my parents in their own place, this is what insulates and inspires them. I wanted James to have that.
What kind of a backstory did you create for your character?
I thought he was like, I kind of immediately got there. It was an astrophysicist? The guy that really owned the house?
Oh, he's like a writer.
He was a writer, physicist, writer. I thought he was probably a scholar, a writer, maybe a musical scholar. I was kind of going, some kind of a teacher with a grant. He probably had a grant of some sort like that. But I know he was intelligent enough and very well read. And it was probably that one moment he doesn't enjoy being out of it, you know, at all.
Yeah, he's still at the point in the illness where he's aware that it's happening to him.
Yeah. And then there's an inherent sadness there, for sure, yeah.
I've been many things in my life, but I've never been a teenage boy. So there are some things I'm probably not going to get, including the absolute fear they have of women and girl sexuality. And I love how you portray that in this film.
You know, I remember in high school for me, you know, girls, it just was so confusing that it just made you angry. You know, you didn't know why you didn't want to hang out with your friends. Like, you know, either they were taking you away from your friends and you were resentful. At the same time, if you were with your friends, you were thinking about them. And the whole thing was perplexing. And I remember thinking, you know, just going through this kind of anger of not knowing why this was happening. And, you know, I see myself in a bunch of those boys in the movie. You know, not only Terry, I see myself in the bullies as well, just the people that are only going to make themselves feel better by pushing somebody else down.
When I was in grammar school, I stuttered so bad they had to pull me out of school. Like I couldn't even get words out. I would get so nervous about stuff, and obviously that's changed, you know. But that's a form of an outsider. So when I saw Terry, I can get the outsider thing, because kids are cruel. Kids are very, very cruel. And my mother, I remember when I was young, she taught me right away, don't ever go there, don't ever do that. And even when I was young, having that done to me, I saw, you know, that's just, what can you do? Kids are absolutely cruel, and that's just part of life. It is part of life.
Talk about collaborating on the script. Because, I mean, Patrick gets the writing credit, but it's such a collaborative process with the actors and with you as a director.
And with the editor and the producers, you know, the producers that I have were extremely, not only supportive, but also wanted to make sure that it was precise. And it was a great experience for me to go through the script after it was written, go through it with the actors, go through it with everybody and say, does this need to be said? Is this important? And the same thing with editing. Is this how you can most clearly and naturally say something.
The part of Uncle James, there's so many great moments with him, but there's this moment in a bookstore where Terry finds him wandering, and he just says, I need to be around other bodies. There's so many interpretations you could give it. There's so many spins you could give it.
That was our first day.
It was our first day, first time getting into the character, and the driver got lost. And I was 45 minutes late, and I was not in a good mood.
No,
and I came into Oz, and I said, hey, look, I was ready to do this thing about a half hour ago. And he said, well, all right. And then he just, you know, he does. He's very calming. He's a very centering man. You can see that about him, you know. So he just says, fine, it'll be fine. And we just did it. I don't know about that. I don't know how to describe acting. I think you can talk about going to class and learning your craft. I think you do it or you don't do it. You make believe. So I went and made believe, you know.
You know, what I learned, which was really helpful, is like somebody comes up to you and they're really, you know, Creed was upset. He was angry. You know,
yeah, lost. I was.
All you have to do is really say, I'll take care of it. Uh-huh. And then it really, yeah. Whether you're planning to or not, it just kind of lets things go, and we were able to move past it.
A funny thing on that, the scene where I'm looking down at the rats and I tell him, I can't believe that he could be so cruel, or that he was capable of something like that. I told Oz on the day, I said, this is a big deal, and I told Jacob, I want to really go up on myself. So Jake and I would joke, and all three of us would joke right up to the moment we'd go in, and then we'd jump into character and do it, and we had laughed a lot. You don't miss how much we're laughing in between the scenes, because that's what keeps us going. And then I said, I want to get real serious about this. I'm off walking around. I come in and it's flat, and he seemed to think it was okay, but I knew it was flat. I felt flat. I wasn't there. So I said, I think I'm going to go back to being what we do for. So he said, okay. So I started joking around with Jake again, and I told some jokes to the crew. We came back in, and the very first take, and then I remember I saw the screen. I said, that's the one. And Oz said, that's the one you did right after you started joking around again. So isn't that interesting?
That is. It just gets a different place in your mind.
Yeah.
Now, notoriously, making the crew laugh is very difficult. So what do you do to crack them up?
I have props. I bring out, you know, the poopy cushion, you know, the Angora cod piece under the pajamas. Simple little things like that to get them going. Yeah, that's not hard for me because I go for a cheap laugh.
Will that be on the DVD? I now must see the Angora cod piece in action.
You know, it was great, actually. There was a behind-the-scenes video being shot, and there will be a piece of it on the DVD. You know, it was a very fortunate shoot. People that were assembled were people that wanted to make something good and different and special, and it was a good team.
And they were always very respectful. Anytime that we had any serious stuff, it got quiet. I've been a lot of sets where people are talking all over the place like this. Everybody got really quiet and we respected the work. They knew it was something kind of special and tender about this whole thing.
Oz Jacobs, Creed Bratton, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
The film is Terry, and I'm Andrea Chase.